Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I actually wrote this sermon 2 weeks ago in hopes that I would not be writing a sermon on the plane on the way home from the Synod Assembly. I threw the one I wrote 2 weeks ago in the trash and wrote a different one on the plane on the way home from the Synod Assembly because stuff happens. The Holy Spirit does its work, as it did with Paul. Start with the gospel today. In that gospel according to John, Jesus says, keep my word. Those who keep my word, that's what love looks like. And then Jesus says, I will leave you with the advocate, the Holy Spirit. Now, often Lutherans have been accused, sometimes rightfully, of being a people of the second person of the Trinity. We acknowledge that indeed God made all things. We say it in the Nicene Creed and just a little bit later. We sort of agree that there must be the Holy Spirit, but we try not to let it get the best of us. Or as one of my friends says, make the best of us. We like Jesus. He's our friend. And we can understand Jesus. But in our gospel lesson, Jesus gives us the advocate, and everything changes. We hear about it in the ministry of Paul. Paul was quite certain about what his ministry would look like, and suddenly one night, he had a dream that someone from Macedonia was calling them to Macedonia. And he gets up in the morning and he says, we're going to Macedonia. It's not like they had been planning, you know how Christians are. We plan a mission trip. How long does it take? Years, right? We have to conceive of it. Then we have to call a committee. And then we have to plan it. And then we have to take at least a year raising the money. And then we go for 4 days and talk about how it changed our life. Not Paul. Paul gets up in the morning and they begin to seek, how can we go to Macedonia? And when he gets to Macedonia, there he is met. And he goes through Samothrace and through Neapolis to Philippi. And there he is in that Roman colony, and they remained there. And on the Sabbath day, they went down by the river where they supposed there must be a place of prayer. I love that. What an assumption. And he finds there who? Who's there? Yeah, a bunch of women. A bunch of women are down at the river praying. Not, I think, what Paul was expecting. Right? Paul probably was not expecting to go down and begin a new ministry with women. Oh, that Holy Spirit. Paul encounters there God's people, led by a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. He could not have expected this to happen. I can't imagine that Paul, if you read sort of the whole Paul corpus, that you would think Paul would think to himself, let us go to Macedonia and make Christians of the women there. No. But the Holy Spirit takes him on this unexpected journey. And not only is she baptized, but her whole family, her whole household is baptized. And they prevail upon, I love that word, they prevail upon Paul to stay with him, he and his companions. And a new ministry is begun because the Holy Spirit worked in amazing and unexpected ways. Well, this weekend I learned about the Spirit working in unexpected ways. Our theme for the Synod Assembly this year was keeping creation. And we had Barbara Rossing, who is a theologian. Specifically, she's been working the last several years on Revelation, so it worked out very nicely that her Bible study happened to be on the 22nd chapter of Revelation. It was fabulous, worked out nicely. And then we had two other theologians who were a part of our time together. One of them was Ben Stewart. And they began to talk about how God's Spirit is leading us into a new place in our understanding about creation. So I want to tell you a story. Her name is Cindy. Cindy is a Metro guard whose patrol includes a beach on Kona. She's been doing this for years. And she often begins her Sunday mornings down at the beach where she picks up trash. It's her time of giving back to the earth. And one day she noticed a homeless man was there. And I think moved by the Holy Spirit, she invited him to help her pick up trash. And he did. And then a little while later, others began to join them on the beach, picking up trash. And then they started having a little light meal in the breakfast time. They would come together, read a little scripture, and they would go and they would pick up trash. And soon it was more and more and more people showing up on Sunday morning, till it got to the point that there's a whole feast that begins this thing, and all of these people come from the congregation at Kona and from the community, and they put a big meal out, and the homeless people come, and the members come, and they all eat together on Sunday morning, and then they go and they pick up trash along the beach. They read the word, and they sing, and they revel in each other's joyous company, the Holy Spirit at work. And it started with one person. I'm sure when Cindy began, she could not, like Paul, have imagined that it would turn out this way. And that this year, for the first time, they actually, on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, went down and had their Easter brunch with their homeless brothers and sisters. It was fabulous. Followed, of course, by cleanup. They figured out a way. The Spirit led them to use their hands to do ministry. Second story. Young man in San Diego who is one of these annoying kind of hipster, too cool for the rest of us, we should be saving everything kind of guys that 50-year-olds like me kind of go, yeah, whatever. But he realized there was no co-op of any kind around that area. Yes, I'm talking about you, hipster. And so he realized that so many people in San Diego, including the people in that congregation, all have fruit trees. How many of you have fruit trees of some kind around your house? Can you possibly eat all the mangoes? No. We used to have a mango tree out here in our parking lot. A big, probably 40, 45-foot mango tree. And my son, when he was the janitor here, his job was to pick up the mangoes. Right? And the thing about mango trees is you pick them up and you go in and you go to the bathroom and then you come back out again and you start over. There's so much fruit. And so he began to ask people, why don't you just bring your fruit here and we'll share it among ourselves so that nothing can go to waste. Why let it fall to the ground? And then suddenly this co-op was born. And he said, you know, just bring it and put it on the bench in front of the church. And then people can just take what they want. It grew in the Holy Spirit until a whole co-op thing had been formed. And they were now collecting at one point a ton of fruit that they could distribute out to the homeless shelters and through Second Harvest so that nothing goes to waste and the hungry are fed. It began with a simple idea that we should be able to share together. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, this plain, ordinary idea that wouldn't be attractive to much of anyone has flowered into something remarkable. It seems to me that that's how this gift that Jesus gives us seems to work. Just when we think we've sort of figured things out, that Holy Spirit comes into our lives and into our ministries and into our world to remake it. So I find it disturbing that in this day and age, we're beginning to see people interpret the work of God through the Holy Spirit in such a destructive way. Barbara Rossing, who wrote The Rapture, Rapture Revealed, I think, or something like that, talks about the fact that there's this huge theological movement, this religious movement that is convinced that God is going to destroy all of the earth so that God can come again. Now, I don't run into that a lot, but she said there really is a kind of theology that's developing among people who say we should just use everything as quickly as we possibly can. And that way Jesus will come again and the garden will be established. Thank you for the funny kind of, looks. Gives me some hope. And I hadn't run across it too much until, and strangely enough, last night, as I was sort of unconscious, half unconscious, watching Channel 14. Somehow I slipped onto Channel 14, which is one of the religious broadcasting channels, and a commercial came on. And they had this picture of a zombie. Yeah, now I got your attention. It's a picture of a zombie on there, all red and so forth. And they said, is it possible that the U.S. government has produced biological weapons which are turning us into zombies so that we will eat each other? I don't make this stuff up, right? And then they had a news clip from that awful situation where that young man cannibalized his roommate a few years back. And so they took this one incident and then globalized it and said, is it possible that the U.S. government is creating this agent which will make us crave human flesh? And then the or is this part of God's plan to destroy all of humanity so that the world can be remade? And I thought, I wish that, what? And I don't have TiVo, so I couldn't rewind it to hear it again because I thought I must have misheard that. God is making cannibals so that all the earth can be destroyed and God can come again. But they were dead serious. I saw the commercial again a little bit later and it hadn't changed a bit. Well, this whole idea that God is somehow going to destroy the earth so that the garden can come into place only has one little problem. It's not in Scripture. Sorry. Makes for a great movie, but it's not in Scripture. In fact, listen to our text today. How does the New Jerusalem appear? Were you paying attention? Yeah, he's already heard the sermon. How does the New Jerusalem happen? You were here. It comes down. To where? Here, people. Here. If there's no here, here, where's the New Jerusalem going to come? And not only that, but the whole book of Revelation is this wonderful downhill stream to the 22nd chapter, where the river of life flows in the midst of God's creation, and planted there is the tree of life, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. That's what the Holy Spirit is up to in this day. what our theologian spoke to us about in Care for Creation is that it makes no sense to wait for the earth to be destroyed so that we can start over again. The tree has been planted for the healing of the nations, and God is calling us to the healing of the world. Not only of each other and our own brokenness, but in the brokenness of creation itself. Barbara Rossing stood up and she said, "We have witnessed something remarkable just in the last couple of days." She said, on a mountain, on the top of a volcano, I'm trying to find the sweet spot, on the top of a volcano in Hawaii, they take measurements of the atmosphere. And what they are measuring is, what is the percentage of carbon in our atmosphere? And it turns out that at the most ideal concentration, I'm sorry if I don't get the exact number, I believe it's 168 parts per million. And if you reach 400 parts per million, scientists are not sure you can tip back the other way. Now, keeping in mind, someone once said, if you view Earth from space, one of the things that one of the first astronauts said was how disturbed they were by how thin the layer of atmosphere is over the Earth. We think of it as just vast. But they said, in terms of relationship, go to your average globe in a classroom, and the thickness of the atmosphere around the Earth is the thickness of the varnish on your school globe. Right? What they're saying to us is that what the Holy Spirit is calling us to, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, is for us to also be a part of that healing tree of life and to be drawn into relationship with each other and our Creator in powerful ways, like Cindy and like that young man in San Diego, like our own feeding of homeless people, our own installation of photovoltaics, our concern for the earth, Earth Day, this wonderful gift of the Spirit that draws us into new life. God is taking us plain, old, ordinary human beings that look like a little stick and giving us the Holy Spirit so that the flowering of paradise can happen here and now. We celebrate this year the 25th anniversary of the birth of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And our theme, it's hard to believe, isn't it? And our theme is God's work, our hands. On that day in the Gospel of John, God left us with the Advocate who fills our hands with God's work and gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit for the healing of the nations. Amen. By the way, the other sermon was way more boring.